attention. When can I get some consideration? I've been thinking about what it means to be alone, what it means to be stuck home.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Noteworthy. In this episode, we're joined by Scott Elder from the music group IU. Some of the things Scott and I talk about in this episode are how Scott met some of the original members of IU and how the group was formed. We also talk about some of the exciting opportunities IU has gotten to experience over the years, as well as an upcoming project that the group has been working on. It was wonderful talking to Scott, and I really enjoyed this conversation. So thank you for tuning in, and I hope that you enjoy it as well. All right. Well, thank you for joining me on Noteworthy. Do you want to give us an introduction of yourself?
Yeah, sounds good. And thank you for having me here, Andrew. It's always fun to work with The Daily, so I appreciate the invite. I'm Scott Elder. I'm a senior at the University of Washington, but the reason why I'm on this podcast is because I'm in a band called IU, I/U. And while we have a hard time spelling, I think that our music speaks for itself. It's a group that I created with all of these strangers in my first year at school with, a band, yes, so like drums and keyboards and all that, but I had the scope that that's a pretty unsustainable model. So I included designers and videographers. So IU is a collective of creatives that enjoy creating. Wow, that's a lot of in creating in the same go. But I guess a little bit about me is I'm originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so I was looking to create a community of my own, headed out to Seattle, and I think I've succeeded in that department. I'm a bass player and producer, so I kind of speak as I play, and I hold down the low end, but I'm also really into artist management, so it's been a fun experience with IU, wearing a lot of hats and growing over the course of 4 years in that space.
Yeah, it's awesome. So you said you formed IU your first year at UW.
Yeah, like the first few weeks at UW, I had abandoned Louisiana. That was I don't know if this is an old thing and to say, but we were the in talk of the town a little bit, right? And I was exhausted because I pretty much did what I do for IU for 3 years before that. And so when I started school, I said, I don't want to do any of that. That is exhausting. And people our age stink at in communication. And I said, when I go to UW, I'm going to let my skill speak for itself. I'm going to hop into somebody else's band, and I'm just going to be a player. And within 2 weeks or 3 weeks at UW, I got fed up that I wasn't playing. I was doing these jams, and that was it. But I love creating. So that's kind of how IU was started in my head a little bit.
Nice. So who else did you form the band with? Because there's like 8 people in IU now or something. So
it's a ridiculous amount of people.
Yeah. Is it eight or like what's the how many people are in it now?
The last time I counted, so I only have 10 toes, but I think we're at 11 or in 12. And that's about seven in players, and then we've got four in people or three that help us out from management to design to photography. So,
Yeah. Okay. So
yeah.
yeah, IU is, I guess, more than what we see on stage.
Exactly. It's a whole system and behind the system.
Yeah, that's great.
It's fun.
So yeah, your first year when you were first starting IU, how many people were in on it in the beginning?
That's a great question. I think I had the scope of including it to be a creative in community, but that takes in the time. So I was focusing on the music, which was I think seven in people to start out, and I found all of those individuals within about a month of each other.
Wow, that's pretty
Yeah,
impressive.
it is. I was just speaking to everyone and really wanting to connect and hear people's stories and see if our stories could be the same. So,
Did you meet through the music department here at school, or like, are you a music major yourself, or how did you kind of
yeah,
meet these people?
for sure, for sure. So in school, I was recruited to UW for a music scholarship and an academic scholarship. So I studied a business, and I was trying and to do in performance at the same in time, but UW is quite the challenge. So I ended up resulting or heading for a music minor, but I was still involved with the UW Symphony Orchestra, which is a fun place to just be around incredible musicians. But how I met everyone is quite the story, because it was random, and I mean totally random. I met our first a guitar player at the university a bookstore when he had on a music in t-shirt or something, and he was studying calculators harder than I've seen anybody studying a calculator. So I walked up to him, we started speaking about that, and I was like, "Hey, you and play any music?" And he's like, "Yeah, I do. I play a guitar. I need a guitar player." "Oh yeah, sick. Well, I'm having a jam at, like such and such date, and pull up, And then in that same week, I was in UW Symphony Orchestra, and I heard us finish up like a Tchaikovsky, right? And after rehearsal, I hear a doon do do doon boom boom doon do do doon doon. I was like, "This is Autumn Leaves. This is Autumn Leaves. This is a jazz standard. What is it doing in this hall?" And I run over to the piano with my bass, and it's our lead singer, Katie Rose. And I'm like, "What key are we in? What key are we in?" And we just start having an instant jam. So it's one of those storybook moments where I just start saying, "Oh, we have to start a band. We have to start a band." And she's like, "This dude is crazy. What is going on?" But here we are, right? And it was always that way where I met our in keyboardist because I saw him jamming in Area 01 in Maple Hall, and he had a drummer but no bassist. So I slammed on the glass. I was like, hey, what is this crazy dude standing here looking like a giraffe in human form, right?" And I was like, da, 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 da. And for those in that are in this podcast, that was just me in playing air bass, which isn't as cool as air a guitar, but and he was so taken aback, and we started jamming, and that's the universal language. So hopefully that helps you out with how all this came to be, this human experiment, I like to say.
Yeah, that's really cool how you just heard them playing and just started jamming, and then that's how you all came together.
Indeed, yeah.
So, you mentioned jazz, like Katie Rose was playing a jazz song, and your music, I use music, is definitely very jazz influenced, or maybe even just full on
Yeah.
jazz. If you want to, I don't know, speak about, I use sound,
For sure,
and
yeah.
yeah, just describe it and maybe why you guys came to that sound.
For sure, for sure. So, I like to say that IU plays a neo soul, and what's interesting about that is because a lot of people have no idea what that means. It just sounds cool. They're like, "What is that genre?" And pretty much, it's just a filler because I don't even know if we can put a name to it, which is okay. It's a little bit just alternative hip, like I'd say alternative R&B, but it for sure is a jazz influence, but it's not a jazz in its own right. I think the key to success in this is have your ideas, have your sound be approachable. So whatever that is, if it's R&B mixed with jazz, mixed with elements of a rock or a dream and pop or a jangle pop, I think it's a pretty good idea of what we aim for.
Yeah. So neo soul is kind of like what you would call it, but there's definitely more to it.
For sure, for sure.
Are there any artists you think kind of fit in that category that you are maybe some inspirations for you and for the band?
Yeah. I think that something we're aiming for is for sure a timeless element of Stevie Wonder, but juxtaposed with that of someone like Hiatus, a Coyote, with a groove that an Erykah Badu or a D'Angelo or the internet have. So it's for sure stepping in that a pop area. I'd even say something like a Rex Orange a feel. So that's what we aim for, I guess.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you guys, so your first year, you said you're a senior, so that must have been 2017 is when you started.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in like the year of 2017, did you guys start performing at like house shows, or I don't know, what were you guys doing back then?
It was a wild experience to play so many shows in such a small amount of in time. But we started playing at UW stuff, and then we eventually entered in the house show spectrum. The first house show we played was one that I threw with a friend who really extended their home to us, and it was one of the crazy experiences of my life. Is will anybody show up? Like, does anybody care? And sure enough, we packed the house up. We were the only group on the bill. And we stuffed, I don't know, 300 into a tiny UW house, right? And I think that's been a pleasure. But how we went through first year of schooling, right, is we just took all the opportunities. So we played a gig that was sponsored by Vans. Somebody said that we should apply into a battle of the bands. And then we ended up scoring that, and then we played for Spring Show, and that was the Spring Show with Pusha T and Rich the Kid, and so that was cool, is because so many people in the Seattle community welcomed me in, even though I wasn't even from Seattle. I didn't know anybody for more than a year. But people wanted to see me succeed because I had a good story to tell, and what I learned is that in people respect if you spent in the time doing all of this. So
yeah, that's pretty awesome. And so you guys did Battle of the Bands that year and the spring show.
Yeah.
And then like fast forward 2 years to 2019, you guys won the Seattle Sound Off, I think.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That was a great experience, sponsored by Mopop and KXP, and for all of the sugar lovers out here. I think it was also sponsored by Dutch Bros. So that was a surreal experience. And then having won that, we were able to play a set over at KEXP, which was a dream. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I first came out to Seattle, is I saw DeMarco's KXP set, and I said, I want to do exactly that. And then I did. So I hope that we get invited back with this upcoming project that we have. But it could be strange in coronavirus in times. And people got to stay inside and, you know, be safe. So that's a big concern for the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's very strange right now. Do you ever get, do you ever miss like performing live? Like how has being a musician been in coronavirus times? Like, 'cause you can't really perform for like crowds anymore. I don't know how much it affects like the writing process or the creative process, but I don't know if you want to like talk about what it's like being a musician right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say that every musician wants to play. Every musician wants to share that gift. For me, I was pretty okay through all of this in period, because I wanted to grow in other capacities. Like with the songs that we're doing now, we've had the time and to invest that in, you know, to the songs. So although this situation is not remotely ideal, you can still grow. And what I feel so proud of is in this project, I've made a design, a decision for every aspect. So everything that whoever is hearing has been touched. I think sometimes when you're creating and you have to create in quicker than other times, you skip over and you don't interrogate all of the decisions. So that's something that I have thoroughly enjoyed, is slowing it down, slow living, slow and producing, slow creating. And trying to take a more holistic view, because at the end of the day, I mean, this is a side hustle for sure. I mean, I'm in school, everybody else is in school, so if we're not performing, then we can invest that time elsewhere.
Yeah, I like that. Like, I don't know, I guess what's missing kind of opens up different avenues for growth, like as a music group.
Yeah.
And then was it? Yeah, I think it was end of 2019 or summer 2019. You guys performed at Bumbershoot as well.
I totally skipped over that. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to talk about that experience and how that was.
Yeah. Bumbershoot was also such a cool experience. And that was also from the Sound Off competition. And it was a surreal experience to have my mom and my brother fly up to see that. It had been a hard year for me personally, and I'm the type of individual to keep hustling, keep trying to include everyone and collaborate. So it was a good check-in point and say, well, this isn't too bad, man.
Yeah,
not bad at all. And it was special, because I always like to say that with IU, I've got the best in team. I mean, none of these people in their right mind should be in IU because we got everything else that happens in this human experience, right? But they love it. They love it so much that it makes those explosion points that much better because you did it in together. Like everyone had a piece of the pie.
Yeah, that's great. And so in those 2 years from when you first started and then, you know, to Sound Off and Bumbershoot, I don't know, how would you like define the growth that happened as a music group? Like from point A, how did the music group like change and evolve? And what was that like?
Yeah, no, I think it for sure did because we've always taken ourselves serious. But when you have that external validation where there's a Seattle Times article, you're on a bill, you're speaking into labels and all that, it starts to become a little bit more real. So what we did after that, right? So we played a Bumbershoot, and then we churned out our June Bugs and project with a company, a merch line, and then had scheduled a tour for spring, but was canceled to in coronavirus. For us, it's all about scaling up. Everything that we do every single year is scaling up. And even headed into in 2020 is just all about that, is like scaling up. How do we do this in a way that it just makes everything feel good and just something that you continue wanting to invest in time into? I think that's a big thing of all this, because now we're all getting older. So we're starting in careers. And so now it isn't just like, oh yeah, let's hang out at like 11:30 and, you know, catch a vibe or something like that. It's, oh, we got to schedule this in because I have a full-time job and that eats up my whole schedule.
Yeah. You mentioned some upcoming project. Do you want to talk a little bit about that or how that's been going?
Yeah. So I alluded into this earlier, but we were creating this new M project throughout the stay-at-home stuff. So there are way too many Zoom calls and Zoom hours than I would like to admit that went into creating this. But what it looks like is a 5-song and project that we're looking to tell a story with, because it's not an EP. An EP is usually just a smushing of some ideas into the same project, or it sounds drastically unrelated, but something that I always think about is, especially when you're at this strange age of having like 2,000 on Instagram, 2,000 on Spotify, if you're releasing an EP, who are you releasing it into? Are people going to stop after song 3 because it's not in Travis Scott? So it's easier to hand them a single so that you can actually get through the project, which is nice. But the creation process was pretty special because this is the first project that we've totally produced with our guitarist Julio, who is actually always in California. So he heads the school there. And so including him at every step was quite special, because it's almost like you're having somebody at the family gathering that brings a new casserole or something like that. And like, oh, what's this flavor? And then he's like, oh yeah, this is a ketchup lasagna. I don't know if that sounds good, but it sounds interesting, right? No, but it really forced us to communicate, which I think is always helpful in wherever you're at.
Yeah. Were you guys in the same place, or were you guys communicating? Like, was Julio still in California and you guys were just like
Zoom calls all day every day, man? Zoom calls.
Wow. Yeah. How is that? Like, what's the difference between like being in, you know, same place with everybody, like one studio, or, you know, Zoom calling and just being separated? Like, you were saying that you did feel connected, but it's, I don't know. What's it like?
I think it's the equivalent of, let's say that you're doing a homework in project and you've got seven people that also are doing this homework, but you've only got one sheet of paper, and everyone is crowding around this one homework assignment and trying to figure it out. So that's what it feels like a little bit. So what it looked like from a logistic base is that Julio would have the songs on his in computer, running that through Apple Logic, and then would screen share and share audio through Zoom, and we would listen through the songs, listen through in pieces of the songs, listen through isolated in tracks, and figure out like, oh, what's not hitting here? Do you like the rhythm of that? How are you in playing that? Is that even a chord in progression we like? Then somebody grabs the instrument, they start in playing the idea that they have. It's like, not really, or that's fire, record that right now and we'll throw it in. So it was a lot of trying to build demos, and Julio had such a huge hand in that. So really having everybody centralized around Julio's setup was a great, because I was in Louisiana without studio speakers. Like, my studio what was up in Seattle. So a very hard in process that would have been a lot easier in person, where you have a band that you can just play with and try stuff on the fly, instead of, okay, I'll go record this for half an hour, throw it in, awful, try again, awful, and try again. I like half of it, but not the other half. Let's go do that again. Now you spent 2 hours on an 8-bar phrase. It's like, okay, well, at least we're getting through it, right?
Yeah. When is the do you guys have like a planned release date for the project, or is it just still kind of up in the air?
Yeah. So we're gonna start rolling it out on January 1st. So some hot in tunes to help you through the new year.
Nice. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
All right. Well, I guess we could start wrapping this up. So you have the project coming up. Anything else you want to talk about, or anything going on with IU that's interesting?
Yeah. I think, so I want to thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure to connect with you. As I already said, with IU, we're releasing new music on January 1st. And what's pretty exciting is that starting in the summer, everyone will be in Seattle, and there should be a higher churn rate of music. But until then, we're looking to create some crazy bops for everyone. There you go.
Nice. Well, yeah, it was great talking to you too. Excited for the upcoming project. And also, yeah, it was great hearing your story and about IU. Actually, I remembered the question I forgot earlier.
No way.
The name IU, I-U.
Yeah. /U.
Yeah, /U. Sorry. I was just wondering like where that idea came from, how the name like came to be.
Well, I was spitballing with in Katie Rose, and it looked really good on in paper, because nobody has slashes in the name, which is probably for a reason, which is, you know, easier to spell, right? But I said, that's just not hot. Like, that's not new. So I threw that in there. I was like, okay, but what does it mean? and so we were spitballing. We were thinking about it. And what we're saying is, okay, there's a lot of things that you can say between I and you. I hate you. I love you. I don't want to see you, you know? And it kind of reminds you of that impermanency of the human experience. So.
Wow. That's pretty cool, honestly.
Yeah.
It's the in-between space between I and you.
Yeah, I mean, we were all in transitioning to college, all away from home for the first in time and forever. And that kind of showed us how fragile things are, that your relationships are always changing.
Yeah. Oh, super cool. All right. Okay, well, now I think I'm done.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you for talking to me.
Yeah.